Good afternoon, you're very welcome to today's edition of Saturday with Clare Byrne. On today's programme, have you decided how you'll vote next Friday? As campaigners for and against the Shannon make a last-ditch attempt to win hearts and minds, we'll hear from both sides. News today that one credit union could cost taxpayers 70 million euro. Are we heading for another big bill for financial institutions? And the former Fine Gael, who's now part of the Reform Alliance. But what is the Reform Alliance? First, it's time for the news with Michael Murphy. Michael, thank you very much. This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. You're very welcome once again to the programme. And if you'd like to get in touch with us today, the text number is 51551. You can email saturday@rte.ie. Our Twitter address is @SaturdayRTE. We're joined today on the programme from our Donegal studio by Sinn Féin TD Piers Doherty. In studio in Dublin, we have Independent Senator Catherine Zappone and Billy Timmins, Independent TD and member of the Reform Alliance. And any moment now, I'm hoping that Minister Alex White will be joining us in studio as well. I believe he's en route. So we will welcome him as and when he arrives. Now, the first thing we want to talk about is the Shannon, really, because this time next week, the fate of the upper house will have been decided. And the choice is fairly simple. If you vote yes in the referendum, you're voting to abolish it. If you vote no, it's a vote to retain the upper house. And our reporter, Louise Denver, canvassed the views of these people in Dublin.
I don't think there's a need for it, really. The fact that I can't vote for people in the Shannon, I don't think it should be there, you know.
No, to keep it on the basis that it needs to be reformed. I think we do need a second chamber for checks and balances, but the current constitution of the Shannon is not adequate for the modern day.
Would you vote yes to abolish it or no to keep it?
Yes to abolish, definitely. We have no control. When control is taken away from you, you lose interest.
I'd be keeping the Shannon because I haven't heard any coherent argument to warrant getting rid of it. And I haven't seen what the cost savings are. They talk about 20 million of actual cost, but no one has told me exactly what the savings will be.
Just want them to get rid of it. Don't think it's necessary.
We don't need it.
We don't.
Yeah. Why is that?
Too expensive.
Do you think, though, that there is a purpose for it?
No, not really.
No, I don't think there's any need for it. I don't think they ever did anything. They're getting too much money. They're never even there half the time.
And when they're there, they're asleep.
No, I don't think. And they've other jobs and everything, and they shouldn't be there. The only way I know an awful lot about it was from Senator David Norris.
It's jobs for the boys, and we'd have enough of that.
Well, I think the same. I don't see why it has to be a selective group of people that can only vote for people. For the Shannon, you know, it stinks to high heaven for me, you know.
No, to keep it, because I think it is a safeguard and I think it is more representative of the people. Even though they say it's elitist, I don't think it is elitist.
No, to keep it. I really think an upper house is a very good idea, but I think also the terms and conditions of the Shannon should be altered. It should be less political.
Oh, well, I do appreciate it. I have watched a few debates in it, you know, from time to time. And I went in, had a look. So I do appreciate it being there, but I just think we just can't afford it.
That was Louise Denver talking to people on the streets of Dublin, both yesterday and today, in fact. And Minister of State Alex White has joined us. You're very welcome. Thanks for being with us today. Billy Timmins, come to you first on this. You would have been in favour of the reform option, am I right? But you're not getting that choice.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I've thought long and hard about this issue, and I believe that it really, really is important to look at what's at stake here. There are two excellent articles today, one in the Times by Theo Dorgan, one in the Independent by James Downey. And I would say to every voter that's out there that you should inform yourself, read those articles to give an excellent overview of what the difficulties are. I believe that the option of my way or the highway, take it or leave it, isn't good enough. The public should have had an option for reform.
And after 75 years where nobody tried to do anything with it, that actually materialised in any sort of reform.
Yeah, quite true, quite true. And in fairness to Enda Kenny, he has certainly put the issue centre stage. But it's the governments that actually have failed to reform it. And the only way we are going to get reform in this country, in the political system, is by voting no to the abolition of the Shannon. Because the government have to listen. If the Shannon is abolished, that would be the end of reform. It's optics. I listened to one of the speakers there spoke about no credible argument, populist slogans, untrue, 20 million untrue, but no credible argument put forward as to why it should be actually abolished. I believe it should be reformed. I believe on its worst day. And I have
what do we lose, though, if we get rid of it?
If we lose, we have a dysfunctional local authority system. We have a Dáil that governments say you know, that the government is held to account by the Dáil. That is simply what's supposed to happen, but it does not happen. Government are accountable to nobody. The Dáil does not hold the government to account. And the Senate, on its worst day, is still worthwhile to be there to highlight the shortcomings. There's many simple things, many major things that go through the actual Oireachtas that go unchallenged, because once government come forward with a proposal, due to the current whip system we have and the fear of individuals in the actual Dáil to speak out or to criticise government legislation, it goes through. And it's only in the Seanad that it can be addressed on occasion. But I believe that...
But Billy, I heard Colin McCarthy talking about this during the week, and he said that, you know, saying that we should keep this upper house because the Dáil isn't very good at what it does isn't a great argument, really.
No, but the point I'm making is that the Dáil will never be reformed. Government will never reform the Dáil. I have witnessed in the last 12 months, particularly in my own case and some of my colleagues, you know, it's one thing to talk about reform, it's another thing to do it. I judge governments, I judge people by their deeds, not their words. And this government certainly hasn't reformed. If anything, it has become more centralised.
But yet you're saying let's keep the Seanad and it will be reformed if we keep it.
Yes, because this is the one opportunity that the public have through a plebiscite to send a message to the government that we want to reform. If the actual referendum is defeated, which I firmly believe it will, because the issue of the public not being given a choice has really resonated in the last few days with them. And people, when they sit down, when they think about this, when they talk to their neighbours, say, this isn't satisfactory enough that I'm being told, take it or leave it. And this will send a clear message to government that they've got to actually reform. And it's not just this government. Successive governments have failed to reform. But I believe that the Senate should be removed from the political system. I believe it should go back. We have to put it back to the original concept, to put experts in various areas of expertise into it, to carry out a national plebiscite for election to Seanad. I don't believe it should be kept in its current form. Now, government will say it's going to be kept in its current form, but that's not satisfactory.
All right, I want to hear from Piers Doherty on this, because Piers, is it fair to say that you might have been on the reform side of things as well, but you've taken a rather different view and you're saying vote yes to get rid of it?
Sinn Féin have been always very clear that the current Seanad, the way it's constituted, has no place in a modern democracy and needs to be abolished. And during all of the years where there has been a debate internally by politicians about how to reform the Seanad, and that's happened during after every Seanad election, Sinn Féin have participated in those debates. At least we made submissions, unlike Fianna Fáil, who didn't even bother turning up, saying that they were too busy to make submissions in relation to political reform. But it's very clear to us, and we came to this determination before the last general election, that the government weren't going to reform the Seanad, that it wasn't going to be reformed in the manner that it needed to be, and therefore that the existing Seanad as it exists has no place. And I agree with Billy Timmins. This Seanad has no place in a modern democracy. And
the difference between what you and Billy are saying is that if you vote no, according to Billy, and retain it, this is the one golden opportunity that you have then to reform that institution.
Well, see, the thing Billy maybe isn't aware of or just doesn't want your listeners to know is that this isn't the only time that people have been asked about the reform of the Seanad in an election. Indeed, this time they're not even being asked, but they were on a previous referendum asked about reform of the Seanad, about how it is elected through the university panels. It's over 30 years ago, three decades. Governments which he supported have been in power since Fianna Fáil, and Labour have been in power, and none of them actually gave expression to the people's expression on real reform. What are being asked of the people next Friday isn't, do you want to reform the Seanad? It is, do you want to keep the Seanad as is, with all of its anomalies, with all of its, you know, anti-democratic structures, where, you know, people, certain people have votes, such as myself, who have 5 votes. Other people on your panel will probably have 6 votes because they graduated from different colleges. Some people will have 1 vote, others will have none. You know, it is completely, it flies in the face of democracy that we would allow an institution in 2016 to continue to survive that disrespects the right of 99% of the people to vote.
Rather,
so this is the first time we have a chance.
It's just rather crude, because you don't like how those members are elected, that you would just strike it out, though, is it not?
No, it's not just about how it's elected. The Seanad doesn't have any power. And the limited power that the Seanad has in relation to is stalling pieces of legislation for up to 90 days. And we know the debate, we've heard it time and time again. The last time they used that was 50 years ago next month on the pawnbroker's bill, and they used it by mistake. Billy talks about, you know, the Dáil doesn't hold the government to account, as if the Seanad is going to. Let's be very clear. There is no requirement on any government minister to set a foot in the door of the Shannon. The Taoiseach has only actually ever went into the Shannon once since this Shannon was constituted. There is no requirement on a minister. No senator can ask a minister a question. You cannot put down a written question or an oral question. It is a forum that does not hold the government to account. It has no role in holding the government to account. And this idea that the Shannon is there and going to be an accountable body is absolute nonsense. It has no function. It has no function in our constitution. And the reform argument, Billy has probably his own ideas and Senator Sapona has her ideas, Fianna Fáil have their ideas, we the people and Democracy Matters and so all these different groups have different ideas. The problem is for 75 years there has been no consensus in relation to Shannon reform, and even when the political parties had a consensus they did not activate that or give expression to that.
All right, I want to bring in Senator Catherine Sapona here now. I mean, there is a point there, isn't there, that you know, nothing has been done in terms of reform for 75 years. Now we get to the point where you're being told it's gone or we keep it. And you're saying, hands up, we'll reform it. We will reform it, but only under threat of abolition.
No, that's completely untrue. The Shannon has been reformed in 1947 with the Electoral Panel Act. It was a reform of the ways in which the senators were elected, nominated, and elected prior to the earlier years of the Shannon. So there, and the reason for that reform is because there was various forms of corrupt tactics in order to bring senators into that upper house. So it was reformed in 1947, and as an initiative.
Are you saying
I'm saying, first of all, I'm saying that it is inaccurate, untrue, not a correct argument that it has never been reformed in 75 years. It was reformed in 1947. It can be reformed again today. There are two ways in which the Shannon can be reformed. One is constitutionally, and secondly, legislatively. In terms of legislatively, that is what determines who nominates senators, how they are elected, and to a certain extent some of the things that the Senate can do. The bill that Senator Fergal Quinn and I have put before the Shannon that was accepted at second stage and passed, the government did not block it at that stage, is a bill to radically reform how senators are elected as well as nominated, which we believe will take away any kind of political party control of that process, which is the reason for the elite that's being argued in relation to the Shannon.
Do you agree with that?
What I know is that although there may be, in terms of this past Shannon, 1% of the population elected it, our bill would allow 100% plus of the population to participate in voting in new senators. I say plus because every adult in the Republic would have a vote in terms of the senators. And secondly, we also like to see that people outside of Ireland who hold a passport would have a vote, and also people in Northern Ireland who are entitled to a passport.
And
there's a lot of the government talks a lot about trying to create a modern democracy and many other modern democracies
then do,
offers the diaspora a vote.
We heard in the Vox Pop earlier on that lots of people believe that the Shannon has nothing really to contribute.
Yeah.
And one woman said that they're asleep most of the time. I'm not sure if that's quite fair. But what would this reformed Shannon do?
Well, first of all, even in its current state, it is not true to say that the Shannon doesn't have power and that the Shannon hasn't been effective. We have improved legislation over 530 times. Issues in relation to the various laws not caught by the Dáil. The Shannon has also generated law. It doesn't just improve and amend law. It generates law. Just recently, Senator Fergal Quinn's construction contracts bill went through. The Civil Registration Amendment Act, sponsored by Senator Ivana Bacik, that went through. We generate bills. Our Shannon bill is sitting there. I've written another bill, a gender recognition bill. Furthermore, in terms of the debates that go on in the Shannon, motions that we put forward, there's been a huge public consultation process in relation to the future of our prostitution legislation because of motions that my independent group put forward. It went then to the Justice Committee. They've made radical recommendations, laid them before both houses of the Oireachtas. So the Shannon is effective with the limited power that it does have.
Okay.
It could be more effective with reform.
Okay, Alex White, you will say no doubt that the type of consultation processes that Catherine is talking about, that's what you're promising to do with a reformed Dáil.
There's nothing that can be done in the Senate that can't be done in a properly functioning Dáil. Nothing. The fact is, when Billy says that a no vote is a guarantee of reform, in my view, it's the guarantee of the exact opposite. A no vote is a vote for the status quo. I actually think that a yes vote is far more likely to bring about reform in our democratic institutions than a no vote. Keep things as they are. Keep a chamber that, if we were writing a new constitution now, let's just pull back from all of the sort of tension on this. If we were writing a new constitution, would we put two chambers into our parliament? Can anybody make a case for a second chamber as to why in this democracy, the size it is, the level of complexity and so on, why we need a second chamber? Like, people keep going, the notion of reform is almost put out there, almost like it's a sort of a palliative. Oh no, don't abolish it. Reform it. Now, there's thousands of different proposals, as Pierce was saying, about reform. I actually, frankly, I'd like to have a chance to go through them. I completely disagree with what Catherine is proposing in relation to her set of proposals, which, by the way, would maintain the elitism that she claims to be against. It would maintain the panel system. It would maintain the Taoiseach's nominees. It would maintain third level graduates having a vote. Why do we need a second chamber in our country that represents special interests? We're a democracy, we're a republic. We're all equal under the Constitution. We should all have one vote for our Parliament. Mm-hmm. The Constitution talks about a House of Representatives and it describes the Dáil as the House of Representatives. So let's fix the Dáil. This notion that reform, you know, we'll reform it and we'll change it. I think that if we want real change and radical change or democratic, I mean, people are right to be frustrated about the Dáil, by the way. I'm not in here to defend the current practices that have gone on for practically generations in the Dáil, where the Dáil doesn't act as a proper Parliament, where it doesn't hold the government often enough to account. But having dysfunctionality in the Dáil is not solved by having another dysfunctional chamber.
And
up
also,
the way.
By the same token, drawing a line through the Shannon doesn't mean that the Dáil reform.
No, it doesn't guarantee
happen.
It. Oh no, I accept that. I accept that. But I think it's far more likely to occur. It's far more likely to occur because, in fact, keeping the Senate conveys a sort of a false impression that you can have checks and balances in this second chamber, that the Senate acts in some way as a control. It doesn't. It was never intended to be so.
Are you saying that Catherine and her colleagues are doing nothing in there?
I'm not saying they're doing nothing. They're very good people. And it's a terrible pity. I was in there. You know, it's
being
a terrible pity when it gets reduced.
Actually doing some work.
No, no, they are doing work. I'm not saying that. And when I say it's a pity that it gets reduced. Of course, there are excellent people in the Senate now and in the past. But as a people, we should have the maturity to look at what configuration of institutions we want and not reduce it to the question of whether there are people working hard. There are people working hard. I have huge admiration for Catherine Zappone in a lot of the work that she does. And I'm not saying that in any patronising sense. I hope she knows that. I don't want to abolish her. I want to abolish the Senate because the Senate is not necessary in our system because the Catherine Zappones, the opinion leaders in our country who want to be out involved in public discourse are on programmes like this, have plenty of opportunities to contribute to debates if they're in, for example, giving evidence before committees. This country is completely different from what it was in 1937.
So you're saying that Catherine will have
being
the
a lawmaker
same
is very different than offering my sorry? Opinion
and that's
on
my point.
Radio
are
shows.
You saying that Catherine will have the same That her voice will have the same weight if she's acting as a citizen or
frankly,
as an academic or whatever, rather
yes.
than as a lawmaker, which is what she does.
Well,
currently.
I suppose what I'm saying is, at the risk of offending Catherine or anybody else, it's not about Catherine,
no.
You know, and it's not about me. It's about the people of Ireland and what do they want from their parliament? They want to hold. I mean, Democracy Matters have this thing on their website that the Dáil, that the one of the reasons for keeping the Senate is to make the Dáil accountable to the Senate. What sort of absurdity is that? The Dáil is the House of Representatives. We all exist as equal citizens. Give us all the same vote, the same say, the same contribution. We elect people. And by the way, we can throw them out at elections as well, because that's what happens in our system. Special interests being represented in a separate chamber is a complete anachronism. It's a historical. We know why it was there originally, because we had a strong unionist minority after independence that we had to accommodate. And that was quite correct. There is no good case for keeping a second chamber.
Catherine.
I want to agree with the minister that, in fact, we do need a properly functioning Dáil. Absolutely. And one of the reasons that I think the people need to keep the Shannon, therefore vote no to its abolishment right now, is that none of the reforms that the minister's government has put forward is going to provide us with a properly functioning Dáil in the way that we need to hold the executive to account. The various comparisons that the government offers in terms of the modern democracies that moved to one chamber instead of having two, all of them The various examples that they've given. At the same time, when they moved to one chamber, they changed their constitution and put within their constitution additional checks to ensure that when that chamber went, that the people of that one chamber would be able to hold the executive to account. That is not the case of what the people are being offered. The government wants to take out the Seanad from the constitution and to put nothing into the constitution. All the government is doing is promising us certain Dáil reforms that, in my view, actually are very similar to what currently goes on with the use of the two houses.
Those reforms,
with the use of the two houses. So there's not anything majorly innovative in terms of the reforms, but they certainly are not offering a reform where getting rid of the whipping of parliamentarians in non-emergency legislation, nor of reducing the guillotine, nor are they providing any changes to the Dáil that they are saying to the people, let's put that into the Constitution to ensure when you take away the Seanad, we're going to put in place additional checks
and
balances.
So you would have wanted to have seen those things happening simultaneously.
What I would like is, yes, and also the other thing I want to ask the Minister, Taoiseach, why do it now? Why are you putting this question to the people now? Why didn't you put in place very substantial Dáil reforms in these next couple of years? And if they do work, and that does hold the government more to account, then put it to the people. Why did you do it midway, right before this next
budget? There'll always be an objection
budget.
As to the timing.
No,
will always say, why now?
Make any
well, there will always be a case
why
where people
now?
Will say, why now? It doesn't matter when it's done, people will
yes,
say, why are you doing
minister.
It now? We are reforming the
you
Dáil.
Need to implement it's not,
I don't think
and
Catherine's
test the reforms.
Being, I don't think Catherine's being generous enough. We have actually introduced reforms in the Dáil. I don't, even though I'm a member of the government or Minister of State, I don't think they've gone far enough. Mm-hmm. I'm prepared to go much further than that
so
and to advocate further than that.
Yeah.
By the way, can
enough.
I just say about the whip, just the issue about the whip, the government hasn't changed. The whip system is a party discipline. It's not the government. No government can change the whip system. That's an issue of discipline by parties. They decide on the whip system. Mm-hmm. And the other point about the guillotine, maybe it is too harsh. Maybe it is too harsh, the whip system. I'm willing to have a debate about that. But the government can't change it. The guillotine, we are reducing the use of the guillotine. And I do think that the guillotine is too is off.
It's been used
too often. But the way we do 60% that.
60% of debates,
yes.
The guillotine has been used since
the
government came into
the
power.
Way to achieve that is to have a better flow of legislation, to have more agreement amongst the whips in advance as to how long you give to legislate. And by the way, the whip system applies in the Senate as well.
Claire,
we forget about
failings,
that.
Claire, failings,
Billy, and then Piers, I'll come to
you. Failings of the past should not result in us abolishing an institution. We should try and reform into the future. Now, isn't it very telling that we're having a debate and we're talking about reform of the Seanad and it's not even on the agenda? What does that tell you about government? Unfortunately, the way the Dáil operates, and I've sat there for the last 10, 12 years and know how it operates, every and any proposal that comes forward by government is accepted by the Dáil. They don't listen to anything. Any proposals put forward by their own backbenchers, by opposition, and this is reflective of this government and the previous governments, is irrelevant. A few minor changes have been made, things like the over 70s medical card when the general population come out and campaign outside the Dáil gates. Now, I'll give you one small example. During the week, we had the fines bill. It's an attachment of Aaron's bill. In other words, it means if Claire Byrne breaks a window and she's brought to court and she's fined €500, that she can pay it over a period of time or to be taken from her wages rather than go down through this revolving door, down to the prison for a few hours. Now, if you are on a social welfare benefit, that doesn't apply to you. Now, so if I'm getting €200 a week on social welfare, I can't have the attachment of earnings or it's not put on my payment. If I'm earning €200, it is. Why? Because it would be seen as a non-populist measure to hit somebody on welfare. Now, I can guarantee you when that bill goes into the Senate, that failing will be highlighted. It wasn't highlighted in the Dáil because the politicians in there are beholden to the population many times falling for the populist line,
okay,
as epitomised by the slogans of government.
Like one fundamentally, Billy, right? If you reform the Seanad and how it is elected, the very same thing's going to happen in the Seanad, as you're saying happens in the Dáil. Because they will be answerable
yes,
to
of
a
course, there are several different views on how the Seanad should be reformed. And Pierce was right. There was a referendum held in 1979 where the plebiscite for university franchise was extended, never implemented by any government. Sinn Féin on this issue, in my view, have changed for political expediency. Fianna Fáil changed their position. Sinn Féin didn't want to be on the same side of the pitch, so they switched over. Their motivation
is self. We have to let Piers respond.
Yeah, he can respond to it. Their motivation is self. Advancement with respect to this.
Being
I want
on the
to
right
see Seanad.
Side.
Yes,
been,
no,
right.
no.
Will
sorry.
You, will
I want
you
to see the
Piers
Seanad.
Respond
yeah, one
to
second,
that,
no. But how I want
Piers
to see
Donald.
The Senate.
Okay.
I want to see
Piers
the Senate elected
if,
by the people,
if you
the people
get him
that have
to be quiet
expertise.
For a while, I'll come in.
Okay. Piers, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, we're very proud of the fact that we had a manifesto that we campaigned on to abolish the Shannon in its current form, and we stick by that. Mm. Some, maybe Billy Timmins isn't happy that people make pledges in election and they actually implement those pledges, either in opposition or in government. But we've done the honourable thing. It's Fianna Fáil who made a pledge to abolish the Shannon, who have flip-flopped on this issue. But I just want to go back to the real issue of the Shannon, and it's interesting just listening to the two that wants the Shannon retained in Catherine and Billy. And they've argued that there hasn't been real Dáil reform, real radical Dáil reform. And I completely agree with that, and we need to go a lot further. But the idea, the other argument to put forward is that is why we have to retain the Shannon. As if, you know, so they're critical of a government in one hand that won't reform the Dáil, but somehow by asking the people to retain the Shannon as is, then we're going to have a government that's going to radically reform the Shannon. It's just simply not going to happen. And the Fine Gael have come out very clearly and said it's not going to happen. It's not on the agenda. So the question is, do you keep the Shannon the way it is, with all of the problems that exist, with the fact that it is so undemocratic? And we've seen the abuses of the Taoiseach's nominees, which Catherine wants to continue in her piece of legislation.
It's constitutional.
But your I understand.
That would require a constitutional referendum.
And that's why we should be putting forward, if you're really and truly looking at reform of the Shannon, because you do present this.
I did actually put that forward.
Excuse me. You present the idea, the Sapona Bill, as, you know, real radical reform of the Shannon. And it does do certain things, but it still allows for the abuse of Taoiseach's nominees. And we've seen it in the past, Catherine, with respect. We've seen it in the past.
Sorry, Piers, that was me. I just have a question for you on the savings issue, because we had a lot of controversy about that over the last 7 days, the €20 million figure. Do you believe the €20 million will be saved if we get rid of the Shannon?
I think the savings issue is a red herring on this issue. I think the arguments that Sinn Féin are putting forward for the abolition of the Shannon is nothing to do with the cost. Indeed, if it was cost neutral, we would be putting forward the same arguments. There will be savings, whatever that figure is. It's not an issue for us. We genuinely don't believe that those savings will be ring-fenced into an area of greatest need anyway. But this is about an institution that is an affront to democracy, that has no power, that has done nothing in the last 6 or 7 years. Not about the money. It's about the fact that as a Republicans, we believe in that every citizen is equal. And how could we walk into a ballot box or a polling station on Friday and vote for an institution that will deny 99% of the people of this state the right to vote in an election in 2016 for a forum that will discuss legislation that will impact on those 99 mm-hmm. people? And I think as a Republican, you can simply cannot justify
those,
that.
Alex White, those posters, the Fine Gael posters with the save 20 million, they've kind of come back to bite them a little bit. I mean, the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, described them as a nonsense. He said they're a crumb. The savings will be a crumb in the beard of James Riley's budget. but the 20 million figure, I mean, where do you stand on that?
Well, I think the facts are clear that the Senate does cost 20 million.
But you won't save 20 million. We've been told that.
Yeah, there's an issue as to what precisely the savings will be. Nobody seems to have an absolute figure as to what the savings will be. But definitely it costs, it's factually clear that it costs 20 million a year. Now, as to what the savings will be, I think it's not, you know, immediately clear what they will be. But I would actually agree with Pierce on this.
Your
I think the fundamental. There are plenty of arguments that can be deployed in favour of abolishing the Senate. We don't all necessarily all have to have the same arguments. And I think that there are fundamental arguments about the quality of our democracy here, fundamental arguments about how we configure our democracy and how we get represented and how the people get represented. And we don't need special interests in a separate chamber. There is no case for that anymore. And nobody is making a case for it, really, even though it's still in Catherine's future Senate of her proposal or her imaginings. It's still there because nobody can defend the Senate as it currently is. Even Catherine and Billy, they can't defend the Senate. So they're asking people to vote no in this expectation in some way that they'd be able to deliver something else. And that is not, in fact, going to happen.
Catherine.
Well, first of all, Piers Daugherty said the Shannon has done nothing. That is inaccurate. That's not true, Piers. I've listed a number of things that this current Shannon has done. So I think you should get rid of that sound.
I'm not saying that the Shannon has done nothing.
Yes, I heard you say it. You just said it did nothing. Secondly, the minister has said, how can I possibly defend people voting on special interests? Special interests. What we're talking about in terms of the Shannon, people are voted in or are our reforms would surely that people would be voted in terms of their practical knowledge and experience in relation to farming, business, industry, human rights, equality.
Banking.
If those are special interests, I think that's a reductionist.
No,
reductionism,
I think it's anti-democratic.
In relation to the,
that's another argument. That's I think it's perhaps unwittingly so by Catherine. It is anti-democratic. Because you're trying to divide. You would have all the people. What you're advocating is
your
all the people of Ireland.
Of special people, interest yeah. is inaccurate.
Okay,
Minister.
It is special interest because it's people who have an interest in labour, an interest in agriculture, all of these five different existing panels, and they want the people of Ireland to select themselves into one of these panels, just to try to organise
that point.
Expertise and knowledge, which is part of your
reform.
Unworkable and unsustainable.
We're going to leave it there and take a break. When we started the programme, I said Billy Timmins is an independent TD and a member of the Reform Alliance. And Billy, we're going to find out after the break what that actually means. Now, still with me in the studio, I have Minister of State Alex White, Senator Catherine Zappone, Independent TD and member of the Reform Alliance, Billy Timmins, and in our Donegal studio, Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty. And we've just been joined by Harry McGee, the political correspondent with the Irish Times. Harry, you're very welcome. We've just been talking all about the Seanad referendum. And I'm wondering what your view is on voter engagement and how people are what the perception is of what's going to happen next Friday.
Well, the evidence from opinion polls and from anecdotal evidence is that the level of engagement has been quite low, and the consensus has been for a number of weeks that the turnout is going to be a little low. And if it is low, the commentariat believed that it might favour the no side a little bit over the yes side. But the opinion polls have been quite consistent throughout, showing a relatively large gap between yes and no. And if you look at the pattern of other referendums where there has been a swing towards the end, the swing would have been evident by this stage, and that has given those who are advocating a yes vote some hope to say that they think that they will win the day. There are a couple of issues that that seemed to be quite obvious. The vox pop that you had at the start of the programme today was very instructive in my mind, because you could see that amongst blue-collar and working-class voters there was a strong propensity to get rid of the Seanad and to abolish it. But amongst those who sounded like they were very middle-class and university-educated, the toffs, as it were, I think there was a very different dispensation to be...
Perhaps they have a vote. Perhaps
they have. They have a vote already, and they have been convinced by the arguments that have been put forward by Catherine and her colleagues. I think it will come down to the turnout on the day and the get out the vote campaigns on both sides.
Catherine,
I think if it's low, I think it might favour the no side.
Catherine asked a question earlier on. Why now? Do we know why now?
Well, it's why.
Why are we being asked this question?
Well,
now?
We were asked this question in October 2009, and there was a Fine Gael presidential dinner, and Enda Kenny stood up and announced in an impromptu way, without giving any notice to anybody, that it was his intention to put the proposition to abolish the Seanad to the people if you were elected into government. And it came as a shock to everybody, to all the Fine Gael senators and TDs who were present and everybody else. It was a contradiction of a position that he had articulated only 6 weeks earlier at the McGill Summer School in Donegal, in which he called for radical reform of the Seanad. There was a focus group or a policy group within Fine Gael which had been working on this, and one of its members apparently argued very strongly that other countries had got rid of its second chamber quite successfully over the past couple of decades, and that Ireland, given its size and the nature of the democracy that we have over here, we would be better off with one chamber rather than two. And that prompted his Damascene conversion within 6 weeks. There was conspiracy theory. There are always conspiracy theories that attach themselves to this. Eamon Gilmore was riding high in the opinion polls at the time, and we were beginning to hear the legend Gilmore for Taoiseach being chanted on a regular basis. And some believe, the conspiracists believe, that perhaps Mr. Kenny was prompted by shallow electoral concerns.
Never. The other conspiracy theory is that we have a budget coming up as well, and that this is a deflection.
From the budget? I don't think so. I mean, it's not the toughest. It's a very tough budget, and they will have to make very, very difficult decisions. But they've been through this process four or five times since 2010, and each and every budget has been a difficult one. The timing politically might have something to do with the budget, but to my mind, it's about the Shannon referendum campaign. They would have preferred to have it before the budget rather than after the budget. So it's not distracting from the budget. They were more concerned that the budget would be distracting from the Shannon referendum campaign. Okay. They wanted to have a little bit of clear blue water between both events. And I think that was a sensible political decision to take.
So all down to turnout, really, is what you're saying, bottom line, Harry.
Yes. And I do feel that if the turnout is low, I think that the yes side may be in trouble. But just the opinion polls over the past couple of weeks have suggested, I thought that the no vote would prevail until about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I think I've changed my mind slightly. I think it'll be close, but I think the yes side might just have it.
All right. I want to talk now about this Reform Alliance, Billy Timmins, that you are a member of. You're an independent TD now, formerly, of course, a Fine Gael TD of long standing. What is the Reform Alliance?
Very simply, the Reform Alliance is a group of people who lost the actual whip in Fine Gael, five TDs and two senators. One, Dennis Nocklin, had lost the whip a couple of years ago. And when we found ourselves in this situation and following, I suppose, the Taoiseach's announcement that we wouldn't be permitted to stand for Fine Gael in the next general election, we realised that we were thrown off committee straight away. We had to move offices. We had little or no rights. We didn't have speaking time at all. And I think it's important I acknowledge the courageous stand taken by the Ken Corlin, showing the independence of his office, that he did give us some speaking time, and we get in a rota. So we decided, rather than act as individuals, sit in our hands and be compliant, silent people, not rock the boat, which it isn't our intention to do, that we felt we could make a greater contribution as a cohesive group, mm-hmm. like-minded, and we tried to come together, we meet, we deal with certain issues. Now, just to reflect back to the Cam Corlin, we had the first opportunity last week on statements on the late Seamus Heaney, when we should have got speaking time. And this very reforming government and Dáil actually cut us out of the schedule. We didn't make an issue of it on the day due to the fact that relatives of the late Seamus Heaney were in the gallery and we didn't want to cause upset. So much for reform. And it's one of the reasons that I don't believe that this government are serious about reform, and the public will get one chance to make the reform, and that's next Friday.
Does this mean, Billy Timmins, that your Fine Gael life is over? That door is closed
concerned? We're taking one step at a time, and what we want to do is to make a positive contribution. We got elected based on the Fine Gael manifesto. We signed up for the programme for government. We will try, and insofar as we can, support everything. We will support everything that's positive. We will try and add, and as I've pointed out in previous interviews, that in time I believe the government will find that we are their best friends. There are enough people in the actual Dáil continually criticising government, not coming up with anything constructive. There's enough people in the media doing it. We aim to come up with constructive, positive proposals.
That's what everyone got after the last election. Stance on this referendum is very instructive.
Yeah, it is instructive because, you know, there was a mixed view within our group of, and we were concerned about, if we come out against the abolition of the Shannon, will an effort be made by spin doctors to paint us as anti-government? But, you know, I have to acknowledge the courage of the leader of the government parties in the Shannon, Maurice Cummins, who came out and said that he would vote no against the abolition of the Shannon. And that was very informative for me, because it's something that maybe a member of the Dáil might have done, but someone in the Shannon didn't feel the shackles of party affiliation to the same extent. So, you know, the accusation that we would be anti-government, when we looked at it, we said, well, that cannot be thrown at us now, because here we are, the leader of the government parties in the Shannon itself, and no one could depict him as being anti-government. So we felt that we want to play a role in the reform, and it wouldn't have been actually credible for us in the months ahead to deal with the reform issue if we didn't take a position on the Shannon. But let me finish, Claire.
We've just heard from Harry McGee where this proposal to abolish the Shannon came from. I mean, it was there when you were running for election this time out as a Fine Gael candidate.
Yes,
you knew that was there.
Yeah, that's quite,
and now,
yes,
and now
yes.
you've gone against government because you've lost the whip.
This is quite that's quite true. It was there. There was a commitment given to actually hold a referendum on the issue. Government party signed up to it. Alex, some of his colleagues are actually out, TDs and senators, actively campaigning for a no vote. I know that there are many of my former colleagues in Fine Gael who aren't out campaigning. I know who will vote no, who privately would say that they're against the abolition of the Shannon, but they don't have the courage or their convictions to stand up and say it, because we have a political system that you will be penalised if you do it, or you won't be the beneficiary of patronage if you do it. And that's one of the difficulties that I have with our political system, and that's why I feel so strongly on this issue.
That's a choice that your political, your former political party made and your former leader made.
on the actual issue of to put forward the proposal of the abolition of the Senate. That is actually correct, but I don't feel
the whip system.
I am a believer in the whip system by and large. I am a believer of it, except on the and I spoke to the Taoiseach at the time last November on a difficulty, and I said why personally would suit me to have a free vote on that issue. We as a political party defined ourselves on the issue, and I didn't think we should have a cop-out. So I agree with the whip system. Hereafter, I don't believe for social issues that we should have a whip system, that we should relax. We saw David Cameron in the House of Commons, who was defeated on the Syrian motion. We didn't see 100 Conservative MPs tripping off to a different room to relocate their offices.
And what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Fine Gael or no for you now?
Well, I don't know. That's not an issue for me, actually.
Of course,
It's not an issue for me at the moment. My issue, the choice for me was to sit on my hands and do nothing and become irrelevant. And that's the way the whole mechanism of the system.
An independent TD is irrelevant, is it?
Well, by and large, that's the way the mechanism is orientated to make an independent TD irrelevant.
You'll upset a lot of them.
I don't care. Actually, I'm speaking the truth. If that upsets someone, it doesn't affect me. We feel that we have a better chance of making a contribution as an actual group, and I'd be happy to be back in 6 months or 12 months time. I'm ruling nothing in or nothing out. We are coming together. We're not a political party. We're a loose grouping. We come together, sit down and look at issues, and we'll come up, and you know, my colleague Dennis Nocton in the last couple of weeks alone has come up with a couple of very progressive proposals to save money. Actually, one of them with regard to child benefit would save what the abolition of the Senate would change during the full duration of it all lifetime. But unfortunately, the government didn't take it on board, but maybe in their budget they might.
Okay, Alex and Pierce, one for you from Lucinda Creighton, who's been in touch via Twitter. Interesting that Pierce and Alex entered a Labour Sinn Féin pact to get elected to the Shannon in 2007, and now they condemn it, and she's used hashtag ironic.
It's not condemning anything. What I was in the Senate, I think in any political party, including Lucinda's or Lucinda's former political party, have used the Senate in a way that I think ought not to happen and ought not to continue to happen. All parties have done that. The Labour Party, the Fine Gael Party, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, all parties have done it. The question is, do we believe that we should continue that practice of having, as it were, as Michael McDougall described it, a creche where people can actually go through on their way to the Dáil? Yes, I did. Haven't I said that twice or three times? I accept that, but I think that it's wrong that we should maintain a system that allows that to occur. Lucinda might think it's ironic, but I think what we should do is pull back from this kind of, you know, constant backbiting about people's individual motivations, and let's talk as a people about what we want from our parliament, one or two chambers. I say one properly functioning one.
Okay, Pierce Doherty, your response to that comment by Lucinda Creighton?
Well, if Lucinda paid any attention to the last Shannon that I was involved in, she would know that I spoke openly in the Shannon, critical of the Shannon. I called it an apartheid system that had no place in modern democracy. I was in there, I was one of the only senators at the time arguing for its abolition if there wasn't real radical reform. And genuinely what I think is ironic, because, you know, Lucinda Creighton tries to present herself as the Great White Hope. Now, Lucinda Creighton voted just a couple of months ago to allow this to go to referendum, and actually voted against a Sinn Féin amendment to the legislation for the referendum that would have put this matter to the Constitutional Convention. So I think what's ironic now is that Lucinda Creighton's, you know, tapping her iPhone and tweeting into a station, not knowing my comments 3 years ago in relation to the abolition of the Shannon, when she herself, you know, didn't have the courage of her own convictions to actually refer this matter to the Constitutional Convention. But now that she'd been turfed out of the party, she finds no problem of finding newfound convictions
on
this matter.
Over to you, Lucinda. We're going to be talking about credit unions in just a moment. This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. We're moving on now to a potential bill for the taxpayer of €70 million to bail out just one credit union. The central bank would like to see the troubled Newbridge Credit Union merge with its counterpart in Naas, but the Irish Independent says today that that merger could cost tens of millions in losses. And Charlie Weston from the Irish Independent has the story and joins us now. Charlie, thanks for taking our call today. Will you explain to us what's happening, first of all, with Newbridge Credit Union and how it got to this point?
Yeah, Newbridge Credit Union, Clare, has been run by a High Court appointed special manager for the last 18 months, because the central bank and the registrar of credit unions within the central bank has been concerned about the losses at the credit union, commercial lending. They're concerned about what they call governance issues, And a lot of it is around an elaborate building that was built during the boom by the credit union.
You have a picture of it actually in the Independent today. It certainly is elaborate, and it might be a conversation for another day, but what was a credit union doing getting involved in commercial lending in the first place? But anyway, this is the root of their problem, you're saying.
Yeah, and so a special manager was appointed by, effectively an administrator appointed by the High Court, has been in there for 18 months now trying to run the credit union. Now, there's an information vacuum. We really don't know what's going on because there's no accounts being issued. We're not getting much detail on it. And there's so it's an impasse at the moment now. 18 months, this special manager has been there. Concerns about the loan book and this the central bank CD. The way of solving this is to kind of merge it with the smaller rival credit union up the road, NACE. Credit union, but that's going down very badly in the Kildare town of Newbridge. They don't like that idea at all.
And Charlie, do you know what the logic is for recommending that merger with NACE?
It's essentially that you would build a stronger unit. You'd capitalise it. This is where the 70 million figure comes in. You know, you're going to have to transfer the Newbridge loan book over to the other credit union, NACE credit union. And there will be deficits there. So. You know, for various accounting reasons, probably as much as 70 million could be needed to fill the hole there in the balance sheet.
Where did that figure come from, the 70 million euro figure?
It appears that a number of people have told me there was a meeting between the Save Newbridge Credit Union campaign and the Minister for Finance and some officials last week, and that's where it emerged. The Save Newbridge Credit Union people are very concerned, and they've rallied a lot of politicians, something like 7 TDs in Kildare North and Kildare South would be supporting them and would have helped them arrange a meeting.
So, well, what do they want to see happen?
They now have a pretty clever guy on board, a guy called Greg Allen. He's a banking consultant, and he's trying to draw up a plan for them that would keep it as a standalone credit union. Now, it'll still need some money from the state. Eventually that money could be paid back, by the way. And also, there would have to be some buy-in from the community as well. They'd have to put up some money. So basically, they desperately want to keep their own credit union. They don't want the parish rivalries are such, they don't want to be run from the credit union up the road. And this is one of the largest credit unions in the country, something like 37,000 members, the largest community-based credit union actually in the country. And all of this has implications because across all of the sector, we're going to see a lot of mergers of credit unions because small, locally based credit unions which make small loans to people which are essentially one-trick ponies and have a very limited income stream, and the model is kind of broken, and there needs to be a scaling up or a merging of credit unions to build them up into stronger units.
And so, as you say, this is a problem that may be played out elsewhere around the country, because you could be looking at up to 100 credit unions that may need to merge.
Yeah, you potentially 100 credit unions could end up. I mean, the problem with the way it is, the structure at the moment, is they're community organisations. They're all owned and run by the community, unless they're an industrial credit union like the ESB one or the teachers' credit unions. But they're essentially owned and run by their members. They're not for profit. And each one is individually owned. Now, they're very small units, and given the difficulties in making an income from small loans, the model really isn't working at the moment, and they probably need to scale up. So there has been, the government have put in place a kind of a state board called REBO, the Credit Union Restructuring Board, to facilitate the kind of merging of credit unions. Now, most of this will be done on a voluntary basis, but we are likely to see more of these kind of clashes where there'll be resistance to mergers. Some of the members won't like it. The directors might be in favour of it. We're looking at a difficult period ahead here. Now, credit unions are totally safe. It needs to be said that for the most part, the losses are nothing like the bank losses. They are, for the most part, very conservatively run. And 100,000 euros of your savings are guaranteed in a credit union.
And that's very important, that people shouldn't worry about their savings.
No, but it's really about how they're structured, Claire, and the fact that they're very small at the moment, they're very individual, parish-based, and maybe that model isn't working anymore in the kind of world we're in at the moment.
And that's why it's quite political, because you said that in this particular case in Kildare, you've got TDs getting involved as well. I mean, what role is politics playing in all of this, in your view?
A huge role, as far as I understand it. Now, it's very unusual for members of a credit union to get to meet the Minister for Finance. That in itself is exceptional. Also, seven TDs from the area went in to meet the registrar for credit unions in the central bank recently. I believe there's been very high-level contacts politically with the people in Newbridge on this issue. So, I mean, it's a very, you know, this is how these things end up being played out in the end. Mm-hmm. There may be regulatory matters, and then central bank may have certain concerns about reserves and technical issues, but at the end of the day, politics will probably take over this and dictate what happens.
Okay, in the time we have left, Alex White, do you know much about this credit union problem? How big a problem is it?
I don't know much, too much about the Newbridge situation, other than what you know one knows broadly from what's been reported before. And I think Charlie Weston's piece, actually a very good piece today and very informative, sets out the key problems and the issues there. I hope it gets resolved. I see David Begg is chairing a set of talks to try to have it resolved. I very much hope it is. The real thing here is that the credit unions are valued hugely in communities right across the country, Newbridge and elsewhere.
We don't really need another 70 million euro bill.
No, we certainly
do
not, which I think is the other dimension of the story, that we need to ensure that this gets resolved, but that we actually maintain and shore up for the future a really important community service in credit unions. And it's obviously going to be a difficult one to resolve. I'm not sure if my wading, even if I knew much about it, which I don't, the local situation, I'm not sure if my wading into it would be particularly helpful, other than to hope that it does get resolved.
Okay, Pearse Doherty, finance spokesperson with Sinn Féin. I mean, are you aware of the extent of this problem nationwide?
I am nationwide, and I don't think it's anywhere near what's been reported previously, not by Charlie Weston, but what we've seen in other reports. But in relation to Newbridge, I'm very aware of the Newbridge situation. I've met with the campaign group. I've met with individuals down there. I've been engaged with the Department of Finance. I'm seeking a meeting with the central bank in this. And I think there's two issues. First of all, the Newbridge Credit Union should remain in Newbridge. I don't think the merger should go ahead. The other point is that a lot of the information isn't available because there's a court order suppressing information, gagging orders and directors and so on and so forth. But what we have seen come into the public domain, which was leaked just a number of weeks ago, was the draft accounts just before the special manager was put in. And this was by auditors that were appointed by the central bank. Now, this credit union went through 10 different types of audits in, I think, about a 3-year period. And they show that the credit union was in a healthy position. There's very clear fingers, you know, that legitimately are pointing at the way that this was handled, which caused a bank run on the credit union, which has meant that the losses have now gone very, very high. So there's two things that we have to do. First of all, I'm glad that there is a dialogue finally between the central bank and the campaign. But the second thing is we need a full investigation into how this happened, because I think that the state were actually wrong in how they handled this. And when the court releases the documents, we'll be in a position to actually adjudicate on that matter.
Well, it's a developing story. Pearse, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. That's Pearse Doherty and Minister of State Alex White. Thank you also for being with us, and Harry McGee and the rest of our guests. We'll talk to you next week, where we'll have a special results programme after the referendum.
Saturday with Claire Byrne was produced by Peter Woods. The researcher was Leslie Anderson. The broadcast coordinator was Louise Denver. And sound supervision was by Sheila Neveuil.